This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes here on BFM 89.9. It is just coming up to 12:06 p.m. on Monday, the 21st of March, 2022. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me virtually is
Mr. Richard Bradbury.
Yes. So,
hello.
It's a little bit of a quiet day in the studio today, as I'm being joined virtually. But weather's good. Everything else is good. Now, you know what may not be good, it could be bad or even ugly, is what we're talking about on BizBytes today, which is the recent announcement of the EPF withdrawal. So that's what we're discussing today. Now, is the decision to allow a fourth EPF withdrawal a good one? While there have been calls to allow EPF contributors to dip into their own savings during these pressing times, experts have warned that doing so could have serious implications, not just for individuals, but for the EPF as a whole. Now, of course, BFM has been covering this since it was announced last week, but we are just reiterating some opinions from experts. And if you want to get in touch with us about this story and about, this whole thing, basically, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Mm-hmm. Should I do a quick recap then?
Yes, please.
All right. Here's a recap of what happened last week. The government has allowed a fourth round of withdrawals from the country's Employee Provident Fund, the EPF, of course, retirement scheme. Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob announced in a special press conference on Wednesday that this withdrawal would be capped at 10,000 ringgit per contributor. However, he urged contributors to think carefully before making the special withdrawal in the interests of their future. Before this, there were three withdrawal schemes for EPF contributors since the start of the pandemic. And according to the Prime Minister, 101 billion ringgit has been withdrawn from the retirement fund by 7.34 million contributors since 2020 under the iLestari, iSinar and iSchemes.
Yes. So the government said that after conducting studies during the recovery phase of the pandemic, there are those who are still affected by the pandemic from an economic standpoint. Now, I don't think that it's a secret that this decision is controversial, especially amongst experts and analysts in the field. However, there have been calls to allow for a fourth round of withdrawals by various quarters prior to Wednesday's announcement, especially by UMNO. The party has been urging the government to allow for a new round of EPF withdrawals since December last year. And during the Johor state election, the opposition had also called for the government to allow for another round of special withdrawals from the retirement scheme.
Now, the finance minister, Tunku Zafril, warned in January this year that more EPF contributors would end up retiring below the poverty line if the government allowed for more withdrawals. He added that there will be future implications, especially if a recession occurred. Shockingly, and this is something we covered last year, almost half of EPF's contributors have less than 10,000 ringgit in their accounts. Now, on March the 14th, the minister said that without the three previous withdrawal schemes, the EPF's dividend for conventional savings in 2021 would have reached 6.7%. Currently, it's dropped to 6.1%.
Yes, he also said that another round of withdrawals could see an estimated 63 billion ringgit taken out by the 6.3 million eligible contributors. And this would basically force the EPF to rebalance its portfolio by selling off more overseas investments and halting domestic investments in the short to medium term to accommodate the withdrawals, resulting in serious implications in the long run.
And after the announcement, the EPF and iAccount app seemed to be inaccessible to users, likely due to a sudden surge in traffic. The hashtag KWSP was trending on Twitter on the days following the announcement, with over 10,000 tweets.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, today we'll be getting in touch with two experts to weigh in on this topic. So first off, we'll have economist Jeffrey Williams on the line, followed by Dato' Shamsuddin Bardan, Executive Director of the Malaysian Employers Federation. But of course, again, please let us know what you guys think about this whole situation. Do you think the EPF withdrawal is a good idea, a bad idea? Let us know. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Coming up is Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones and Mary Clayton here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bites, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm joined virtually by
Richard Bradbury.
And today we are talking about the EPF withdrawal, the fourth EPF withdrawal that has been announced recently, and just discussing if it's a good idea or not, really, and checking in with some experts to see their opinions on the subject. And if you want to get in touch with us about this subject, of course, you can tweet us at on Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. But of course, we do have experts on the line with us today to share their viewpoints. So first off is Jeffrey Williams, economist and specialist in higher education management and finance at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Thank you for joining us on the line, Jeffrey. Firstly, look, what are your initial thoughts on the new 10K ringgit withdrawal allowance by the government?
My initial thoughts were about how this policy and how economic policy in general is being formulated at the moment, because less than 48 hours before the announcement of the EPF withdrawals was made, the finance minister, Tengku Zafrul, was in the Dewan Rakyat telling members of parliament that it was a bad idea. And suddenly, after that, the prime minister announced that we were going to have it anyway. So then I asked the question whether the economic arguments against the withdrawals that had been set out by Tengku Zafrul were valid or not, and on balance, I came to the conclusion that actually they are sort of valid. The potential withdrawals are very large and could cause EPF to sell assets, and this could have an effect on the dividend for the members, which he said could have been 6.7% instead of 6.1%, and it could also have wider effects on the local financial markets because EPF is such a big player. So I think that what Tengku Zafrul said was valid and the concerns were shared by EPF as well. But having said that, I'm now of the view that the withdrawals may not be so large as the 63 billion ringgit that Tengku Zafrul had suggested, although that is clearly a potential amount. And based on EPF briefings, I'm confident that their managers will be able to handle these withdrawals. But my final thought was, who will benefit from this? If this is a policy for people in need, then will it work for them? And my answer to that question is that it won't, actually. Only 6.3 million people can benefit from the full amount of 10,000 ringgit. And this is only around 25% of the adult population in Malaysia. So 75% of the rakyat, certainly the older part of the rakyat, won't benefit so much. And many of them, of course, won't benefit at all. So some with savings below 10,000 in EPF could take out what's left. But this is about 2.6 million of these people have less than 1,000 ringgit. So again, many millions of people in need will not benefit from this policy. And so as a welfare policy, my initial thoughts were that it fails to provide the assistance that it promises.
Okay, Jeffrey, you kind of alluded to it, but what is the economic impact of a mass withdrawal like this?
The main positive economic impact would be from the amount of money that is withdrawn and then spent in the economy. And as I said, based on previous withdrawals, we don't expect all of the potential 63 billion or more to be withdrawn. Market estimates range from around 25 billion to 30 billion. And I think it could be higher, perhaps around 45 to 50 billion, but I think that would be on the high end. So this, of course, would have an impact in terms of spending and consumer spending, and that would also have a multiplier effect in promoting extra spending as the money runs through the economy. So if 50 billion is withdrawn, for example, which is the upper range of the expectations, then this could create perhaps 40 billion extra spending, and of course this would promote growth. But the downside are that the issues raised by Tengku Zafrul, for example, are that EPF has to finance the withdrawals from cash or asset sales. And this reduces the total fund size for EPF, and that, of course, reduces their capacity to act as a significant investor in the Malaysian markets, and also the investments that they can make in overseas markets. And this will reduce dividends. So we cannot expect, really, that we would get a 6% EPF dividend this year on current projections. So if the asset sales were to spook the markets, for example, then they may be contagion. But as I said before, I've got full confidence in EPF managers to deal with this. They understand completely the effects of their influence in the market, and they're going to deal with that. Of course, the biggest economic impact is in the long term, because this will certainly increase the number of people without adequate pensions. And this is very bad for long-term growth potential. And of course, it creates the prospect of old age poverty for millions more people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, a few months ago on this very show, right, you gave us some alarming statistics regarding retirement savings in Malaysia. In that case, how many EPF members would even qualify or have enough in their accounts to make this withdrawal in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the number of people who would qualify, EPF are being very transparent on the impact on members, and this reflects a really positive ethos in the fund, in my view. So we know from EPF data that around 6.3 million members could withdraw the full amount of 10,000 ringgit, and potentially around 11 million could withdraw something, but most of those could withdraw very small amounts, if anything at all. 2.6 million, for example, have less than 1,000 ringgit. So the irony is, in terms of the number of people who would even qualify or have enough money in their accounts for a withdrawal, those most eligible may not be the most in need. And so either they won't withdraw anything or will withdraw and use it for non-urgent things. And those who are least eligible or have less in their accounts are the ones who are actually in most need of access to the funds. So after this scheme, we estimate that perhaps 6.6 million people will have less than 10,000 in their accounts. And the number with very, very low amounts or critically low savings would rise to about 4.1 million people with less than 1,000 ringgit in their account. So that will be the impact.
Okay. Given that this initiative is meant to help those who have been seriously impacted by the pandemic, could this provide short-term relief and in turn create long-term stability for these individuals?
So this scheme was, as we've mentioned, was intended to help people in need, especially those hit by the pandemic, but also those who have been hit by the floods. And in addition, just a large group of people who are quite hard up. But actually, most people will not benefit from the scheme, and those that could benefit will get very little or are least in need of it. So it will give short-term benefit to a small number of people, but it will create further long-term problems in terms of pension adequacy and old age poverty.
Mm-hmm. Also, Jeffrey, the finance minister said that this could force the EPF to rebalance its portfolio, resulting in serious implications in the long run. Could you elaborate further on what he meant by this?
To finance the scheme, EPF has to find funds from its portfolio, which includes cash, stock market investment, and fixed income investments, mainly in Malaysian government securities. So EPF always has some cash holdings, but to get more cash, they will have to sell some of the shares or some of the other assets. Now, since Bursa Malaysia shares have performed badly over the last few years, EPF is likely to sell foreign shares to raise cash. I don't think that they will sell Malaysian government securities at the moment. And so local markets will be shielded as a consequence of that. The downside is that they will be selling foreign shares. And it's exactly the foreign shares that have performed best over the last year and have helped EPF to deliver the 6.1% dividend. So fewer foreign shares means lower income and possibly lower dividends in the future. And this is a measure of the impact on existing members who are one way or another paying part of the cost of this policy, whether they make a withdrawal or whether they don't.
And for those who do wish to take advantage of this scheme, what do you think are some important things that they should keep in mind to ensure financial stability?
So when it comes to people making choices about taking out the withdrawal or not, I have to say that I'm not a financial advisor, but I can comment in economic terms. The most important thing to keep in mind when you are offered a short-term cash withdrawal like this is to remember that when you retire, you may not have enough to live on. So we know that now millions of EPF members have inadequate pensions, and millions more are outside of the EPF, and so they also have inadequate pensions. And once the money is out of your account, you have to replenish it afterwards in addition to your normal contributions. So the EPF estimates that you need around 240,000 ringgit in your account to earn a measly 1,000 ringgit pension per month. So if you empty your account now, how do you get back to that amount? This is a really important consideration in my view. Most people simply will never be able to work long enough or to save enough from their wages to get to that 240,000 threshold. So they face old age poverty. Now, for me, this is a big concern, and people should think hard before they take out their money. The general rule is that you should only take the money if you really desperately need it and you have no other alternatives, or if you are certain that you will be able to pay it back afterwards. Otherwise, you're just putting off problems into the future.
All right. Well, Jeffrey, just stay on the line. We do have one final question to ask you in a little bit. But for the time being, we do have to take a short break. So we are speaking to Jeffrey Williams, economist and specialist in higher education management and finance at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. We will also be hearing after the break from Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan, executive director of the Malaysian Employers Federation, of course. But for the time being, rather aptly, here is A Change Would Do You Good by Sheryl Crow coming up here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
This is Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm joined virtually by
Rich Bradbury.
And today we are talking about the fourth EPF withdrawal that was announced last week. And we have some experts on the line. We, of course, have Jeffrey Williams, economist and specialist in higher education management and finance at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology first. We heard from him before the break, but we just have one last question for him before we let him go. So, Jeffrey, in your opinion, what are some alternatives that could have been introduced to help those affected by the pandemic?
So in terms of alternative policy, basically, there are three types of people who are in need of these withdrawals. The first are those who are still affected by the pandemic, even after the opening up process. The impact for very many people is going to be, and it's already, very deep and very long term. The second group are those that have been hit by the pandemic and also by the floods, and they are in special need of urgent, immediate help. And the third group of people are those increasingly larger group who are just very badly off, actually, and have very little in terms of income, or they have no savings, and they have fewer and fewer job options to change that. So the people still affected by the pandemic, the alternative policy and the most effective policy is that they should receive direct cash transfers, as we have recommended for a long time. And they should be phased out as things improve for them. And of course, we're not in that stage yet because things haven't improved for many of them. But the help has also dried up, unfortunately. Those hit by the pandemic and the floods, well, they need direct assistance immediately, and that can only be done through direct cash transfers. And for the rest, the increasingly large number of people who are just getting worse and worse off, we need full-scale economic reform for this group. Because as the economy is progressing and because of the impact of the pandemic, they are just getting less and less well off. But of course, this is a long-term structural reform process. And unfortunately, at the moment, politicians will now only be looking at the next election with short-term policy objectives, handouts in order to get votes and so on. And when they are elected, the reform agenda may well take a back seat again, unfortunately. But what we really need to do is to look at this long-term reform of social protection, how the labor market works, and how we can address a low income for so very many millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. That was Geoffrey Williams, economist and specialist in higher education management and finance at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. We do have another expert on the line, and thank you for waiting. It is Datuk Shamsuddin Baran, the executive director of the Malaysian Employers Federation, the MEF. Datuk, what are your initial thoughts on the new 10,000 ringgit EPF withdrawal scheme?
I initially thought that the government would not allow any further withdrawal from the EPF savings, especially so when the government had allowed with earlier withdrawals under ILS Tari, ICINA and ICITRA facilities with a total of 101.1 billion. I am surprised by the government's decision to allow further withdrawal, despite the fact that currently about 48% of the EPF members below age 55 have critically low savings. The decision to allow further withdrawal from the EPF savings raised a lot of concerns to the public and to the society.
Now, you know, we've been hearing a lot about the impact that this has on the individual, you know, throughout the show. But what impact could this have on employers in the country as well?
In the event the employee decided to make further withdrawal from the EPF savings under the FORT scheme, the low savings at the end of retirement will make employees and the public call for more contribution from the employers towards the employees' EPF savings. Unfortunately, the private sector employers don't have the financial capacity to contribute more towards the employees' EPF savings, especially so with the ever-increasing cost of doing business. The earlier withdrawals from the EPF savings through the ILS Tari, ICINA and ICITRA and the current withdrawal scheme will expose the members of EPF to risk of falling into old age poverty. Currently, about 48% of EPF members below age 55 have critically low savings, and the latest withdrawal, if not strictly controlled, may result in another Ringgit Malaysia 33 billion to 35 billion being withdrawn from the EPF savings. In order to replenish the EPF savings, members that made withdrawals from their EPF savings need to work for additional 4 to 6 years just to cover the amount they withdrew over the period.
And here's a question that we asked Geoffrey a little bit earlier on. What are some alternative initiatives that the government could introduce besides utilizing EPF funds?
Based on the current data and statistic, it is indeed very worrying to note that only 3% of Malaysians can afford to retire comfortably. There is an urgent need for far-reaching solutions covering an effective social safety net programs, robust labor market policies, and sustainable economic growth to give a chance for the employees to earn more, to give more contribution to the EPF savings. There is an urgent need to reskill and upskill of the labor force, as well as policies to encourage automation and digitalization to help increase productivity and make sure that the economic cake is bigger so that employees have better chance to earn more, thereby increasing their contribution to the EPF.
Well, thank you very much, Datuk, for joining us on the show to share your thoughts. We do have a quick message here from on WhatsApp who just says, EPF withdrawal again, we're definitely going to the dogs. It sounds as if basically this seems like a short-term solution to a long-term problem, but we'll just have to wait and see, I suppose, what the results of this decision are. That is about it, however, for today's Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Christine Wong. I've been joined on the line by Rich Bradbury. If you've missed any of the show, of course, you can go to our app or websites to listen to and download the podcast. And coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. The government announced that Malaysia is reopening its borders to international travellers again come April after 2 years of stringent controls as we transition to endemicity. With this announcement, the aviation sector can breathe a sigh of relief after being severely impacted by the pandemic. The Breakfast Grill took stock of how the industry has adapted to the new normal, how travel will be like post-pandemic, and what's the recovery outlook like for 2022 with one of the largest airline groups in the world, Emirates Airline. They spoke to Emirates country manager Mohammed Al Attar. So that is all coming up after the 1 p.m. news. So that is all coming up shortly. And we will be here, same time, same place, for a different story, hopefully something slightly less sobering, on Enterprise Biz Bites tomorrow at 12 p.m., of course. And coming up now is I Melt With You by Modern English and Funk Factory by Rose Royce here on BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bites was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.